grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Holy Gospel for this second last Sunday of the current church year, St. Matthew 24, verses 24 and 25. Jesus said, "False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand." Way back in the fall of 1977, my parents and I went on a tour of several European countries. One German city we visited was Munich in Bavaria. And if you've ever been to Munich, you know that Munich is a delightful city in all kinds of ways, but is perhaps best known for its Oktoberfest, which, as in many other German cities, takes place every year and is lots of fun. We were in Munich for the Oktoberfest. But in connection with our visit to Munich, we were also supposed to visit the nearby Dachau concentration camp. But due to time constraints, we were unable to do so. Well, I have to admit that I was actually relieved, because I wasn't at all sure that I could even bear to see this place where countless Jews had perished during the Nazi regime. If you ever seen pictures of what the Allied troops discovered when they arrived in such places in Germany, and there were many such places, you will understand my reluctance to see Dachau. In fact, the more I learn about the Holocaust, the more shocked and appalled I am that human beings could sink to such levels of depravity, to such depths of pure evil. Words fail. To torture and destroy human beings just because they happen to be Jewish. We're told at the very beginning of the Bible that at the very beginning of the human story, Cain rose up and murdered his brother Abel in cold blood. And that was only the beginning of the long and still ongoing story of what has been called man's inhumanity to man, or as someone has said, human beings are vicious wolves to one another. But in all that horrifying story, there can be no doubt at all that one of the most appalling chapters in that story is what we have come to call the Holocaust that took place during the regime of Adolf Hitler. The Holocaust in which 6 million Jews, perfectly innocent men, women, and children, were tortured and brutally murdered simply because they were Jewish. And what's even worse is that the Holocaust was not something new. The whole history of the Christian church is tarnished by a history of hostility and cruelty to the Jewish people. Now, 6 million is a figure we can scarcely even begin to comprehend, but let me try something for a minute. The church body to which we belong, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has about 2 million members. So to get some idea of 6 million Jews being mercilessly murdered, you might think of what it would mean that 3 times as many people as we have in Synod were brutally murdered in just a few years. 6 million. The Holocaust is a hideous stain on the human story that can never be blotted out and should never, never be forgotten. But what makes it even worse is that the Holocaust took place in Christian Europe, in Germany, the fatherland of our Lutheran Church, and still worse, there were far too many Lutheran lay people and pastors and professors of theology and bishops who in fact knew what was going on, but they said and did nothing. Nothing. Some were even actively complicit in the Holocaust, as were many Roman Catholic and Reformed Protestant Christians. To be sure, there were some courageous Christians who denounced the Hitler regime, among them that great Lutheran witness, Hermann Sasse, who was among the first to denounce the Hitler regime long before others finally came to see the Nazi regime for what it was. But then it was too late. Many who said what Sasse said and did what Sasse did were arrested by the Gestapo, imprisoned, tortured, and put to death, as was the young Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who paid for his courageous opposition to the Nazi regime with his life. But most Germans simply held their peace. They said nothing. I do not condemn them because I very much doubt that I would have done any better given all the circumstances. Well, by now you're probably wondering what all this has to do with the Holy Gospel read on this second last Sunday of the current church year. So let me try to explain. In this Sunday's Gospel, our Lord, during the last week of his earthly life, speaks of the signs which will mark the last days before his coming in glory. Now, here we have to be very clear that in the New Testament, the last days aren't just the days chronologically nearest to the last day, the end of this world as we now know it. The last days are, in fact, all days since Christ came and died and rose again. With Christ's life, death, and resurrection, the last days have come. The last days are here. St. Paul addresses the Corinthian Christians as those on whom the end of the ages has come. St. John writes, "My little children, it is the last hour." St. Peter writes, "The end of all things is at hand." So all the days since our Lord lived, died, and rose again are the last days, and the signs of the last days accompany the whole time between Christ's first coming in humility and his always nearer coming again in glory. Now, one of the signs of the last days is the presence in the world of false prophets. False prophets who try to deceive us with their lies and bogus promises. And though it may not be polite to say so, the teachings of false prophets, false preachers, are lies. And they're never worse than when they try to use the Holy Scriptures, the written word of God, in aid of their lies. Three years after Hitler came to power in Germany, Dr. Sasse wrote these lines. Sasse wrote, "The lie is the death of man, his temporal and eternal death. The lie destroys nations. The most powerful nations of the world have been laid waste because of their lies." Sasse said that in 1933. 12 years later, Germany lay in ruins. What a warning those words are to every nation. The lie is the death of man, his temporal and eternal death. The lie destroys nations. One of the lies that's being told today by false preachers is the lie that God himself wants the Jews to have every inch of the Holy Land. That is a lie. And even worse, these false preachers tell us that we Christians are therefore obligated to support the Israeli government no matter what it does. The present Middle Eastern state called Israel is not the biblical Israel of God. In the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. They were Israel. But that has come to an end with the coming of the promised Messiah. And it is the unmistakably clear teaching of the New Testament, of God's written word, that it is the church that is now God's chosen people, the true Israel of God, in which Jew and Gentile are reconciled through Christ, who by his blood has broken down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. The Middle Eastern state called Israel is not, I repeat, is not the Israel of God. It is a modern secular state which clearly has a right to exist and clearly has a right to defend itself, but it no more exists by some kind of divine right than does our country or any other country in the world. And the notion that Christians are obligated to support the Israeli government, no matter how cruel it is to innocent human beings, is false. That's a lie, contradiction of God's word. In the light of Christ, it is in fact a sacrilegious misuse of Holy Scripture in aid of unspeakable cruelty. And just as it is all but impossible to look at pictures of the Jewish victims of the Holocaust, I find it no less difficult to look at pictures of the sufferings and death of tens of thousands of human beings who are precious to God, who made and redeemed them, innocent men, women, children, infants, and the unborn, whose homes and hospitals and schools and churches and mosques have now been destroyed, even depriving them of the bare necessities of life and bringing them to the brink of starvation. Ask yourself, can this be pleasing to our merciful Redeemer and Lord? Can this be pleasing to our merciful Redeemer and Lord? For me as a Christian pastor, indeed a Lutheran pastor, obligated by his ordination vows both to teach the truth and condemn error, for me to remain silent about these grievous sins and crimes against humanity, and fail to condemn the sacrilegious misuse of Holy Scripture in an effort to demand that Christians support this cruelty, would be no different than those pastors who kept silent in Nazi Germany while millions of Jews were being tortured and murdered in cold blood. Hamas and Hezbollah and the Islamic State are unquestionably vile terrorist organizations. But our country doesn't support them. Our country does support the present Israeli government. And therefore, our country is in some sense complicit in this evil, these crimes against humanity. In no moral universe can such behavior be justified. In no moral universe can such behavior be justified. Now, we as Christians can't tell the warring parties in the Holy Land how to resolve their differences. But we can and we must pray that Jews and Palestinians will find peace in Christ, who is the heaven-sent Prince of Peace, who by his blood broke down the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, indeed between Jews and Palestinians, and in whose church every nation and kindred and people and tongue can live together in that peace of Christ which passes understanding, the peace of living in the communion of saints as we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Because human beings, even Christian human beings, are and will remain sinners as long as we live in this present fallen age, wars and rumors of war will always be with us, until the risen and ascended Lord comes again in glory, brings an end to all the conflict and sorrows of this present world, and makes all things new. So till then, what shall we do? Till then, the Church prays without ceasing. And especially when we come to meet our merciful Savior in the holy mysteries of his true body and blood. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.